Sports Talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to your calls. As promised, later this segment, I want to touch on a news story the last 24 hours or so related to Aaron Hernandez. But first, Bob, who's in Connecticut. Bob, what do you got?
Good morning. So, Vito, good to see you guys.
Good
My
morning.
Favorite program.
Thank you, Bob.
I had heard about 3 weeks ago, I was listening to The Fan in New York. I don't know if that's dirty language for you guys or not, but in any case, Boomer was talking, and
Love Boomer.
He stated repeatedly, Esiason. And he was stating that he knew why Butler didn't play in a Super Bowl, and he repeated that. And then he said what he understood was that Butler had stated, you wouldn't be coach if it wasn't for your father, and put his hands on Steve Belichick. So, in any case, that came up. The reason I bring it up is because last night on Fez, Felger and Mass, that they had this survey come out. Well, if this information was out there, I think the survey would have been somewhat different. So, in any case,
do you like Felger,
right, Bob? I'm going to let you go on that point. We've had a couple of calls that have told us that Boomer said this a couple of weeks back. I think Boomer's got it wrong. I respectfully disagree with what Boomer believes to be true. That's what I would say. You?
That was the first thing everybody thought. Like, that's nothing new. That was the first thing. Like, he had to have a blow up with a personal tie to Bill, and this is why Bill did this.
Let me ask you another question, though. Do you think that there was reason for Steven Belichick to have an issue with Malcolm Butler the week of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's his positional coach, sure.
Do you think they had some sort of issue?
Yeah.
I think they had an issue.
No, he's not the position. He's the safeties coach.
Oh, he's safeties coach, but I mean, he's part of your secondary.
He's part of the secondary.
He's 25% of what you're trying to coach.
You know, he's one of the coaches on the
staff. I'd say he's bigger than 25%.
He's someone that would be in communication with Malcolm Butler pretty regularly, right?
I would say your entire secondary packages were based on where's Gilmore and Butler lining up.
He's right there in the mix.
Yeah.
Those guys would cross paths.
It affects where your safeties line up.
Here's what I can get on board with. That there is something that they had an issue over something, the two of them. I don't believe it led to a fist fight or a fight in any sort of physical way. It may have been just a conversation. But I don't think it escalated to the point of there being a fight or him saying something along those lines.
What position does Jordan Richards play?
Safety.
Yeah. Was he out of place at all in that game? Did he have to come down and play nickel at any time? Did he have to cover any backs coming out of the backfield or anything?
Unfortunately.
Like, yeah, we really didn't see that all year. And it's like, that's something Steve had to get up and going that week. So I would assume that it would be problematic with Butler not playing. Yeah. Because now all of a sudden, I got to get other guys ready in 5 days that have never played the position. And we had you out there for 99% of the plays, but for whatever reason, we're not going to play you.
Yeah, that developed at some point over the week.
Yeah.
Right?
So
things are trending that way.
I can see Steve being a little testy that week. Sure.
Steve is in Boston on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Steve.
I just wanted to touch on the Red Sox having a great season.
Sure are, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they really are. But then we hit an important series like this one against the Indians, and what, our second pitcher and our fourth pitcher in our rotation, who will both probably get a start in the playoffs. They don't pitch poorly, but they don't impress me. The lineup, kind of impressive in a way, but not in the late innings when it's going to matter the most, you know what I mean? They score early, but then they get stagnant and they kind of just get ran out of the game towards the end.
You're obviously a fan. How'd you categorize this season? Like, are you thoroughly enjoying this? Or are you waiting for, you know, ultimately what can happen?
In the beginning of the season, I thought it was going to be a poor season. But then Sale and Martinez absolutely blew me away with their seasons. Betts too. We have good role players. We have a good bullpen. I mean, we have a decent bullpen. I think our bullpen could always be better. But I think if everybody pulls it together and plays at their capability in the playoffs, this Indians team is going to be in for a long series, in my opinion. But thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Don't score enough in the late innings. Is that the biggest takeaway there?
No, I just think that he knows that they need more help. Like he's like he says there, everybody's got to pull together. So what, Tyler Thornburg, Joe Kelly, all these other guys that you're going to throw out there. Where's Evaldi going to be? Is he going to be in a rotation? Is he going to come out of the bullpen? Were you excited when you saw Drew Pomeranz coming that game last night?
Nope.
Oh, man, was I pumped. Like, wow, yes, they're gonna nail it down now. Drew Pomeranz, like, are you kidding me? I was like, where's Carapas? He drive him out of here. Get him on a plane and drive him to the airport. This is what you have, man. You've got to make do with what you have. I don't feel good about it. It was pretty... You sit there for two nights and you watch Tito, and I know the guy struggled the night before. What was his name, Allen? Yeah, but he got out of the jam. He did enough to close that game out. He got JD to pop up. I mean, thinking like, wow, Tito's got himself a little bullpen here. It's not perfect yet because Andrew Miller's got to get going, but the hand guy's going to be better. Just imagine what that's going to look like in a month if they stay healthy. And Tito's got a pretty good pulse as to, all right, here's how this guy's going to respond in this situation. I got me a bullpen. Hey, guys, let's do what we got to do to keep it close for five, and we're going to be all right. And don't get down by three or four. Keep it close. We got a shot.
The attorney for Aaron Hernandez, Jose Baez, has released a book about Hernandez and him suffering from CTE. He actually joined Toucher and Rich this morning. He's been on sort of a media tour the last day or so. Why don't we get to Jose Baez and what he's saying about Aaron Hernandez as it relates to Tom Brady, who I am told will speak at noontime today. And when Tom Brady does speak at noontime today, we will carry that live. Let's hit on what Baez said about Brady next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Isn't this book the very definition of profiting from a murder?
Not at all. I can tell you this. I'm taking the money that I made off of this book, and it's being set up for a college fund for Aviel, his daughter. So you don't get rich writing books. I've got my own. I've got a day job, and I do okay. So this was really something that I felt I had to do because there's a lot out there that people don't know, and all that's out there right now is the same storyline. And I thought it's important. I thought it would be important, mainly for the people who are close to Aaron, to have that other side out there.
So 100% of the profit from this book is going to Aaron Hernandez's daughter?
To a college fund, yes.
Okay, 100% of the money is going to her?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the proceeds of what I made. You know, I had a collaborator. There's also an agent. They get their cut, all that stuff. But what I'm not making any money off of it, period.
Attorney for Aaron Hernandez, Jose Baez, talking this morning on Toucher and Rich. Great question by Rich Shurtleib, saying, isn't this the definition of making a profit on a murder or multiple murders?
Bang.
And I guess to his credit, that doesn't even sound right. I don't want to give this guy any credit. He's going to give all the money that he would make off the book to the daughter of Aaron Hernandez and put it in a college fund for her. Jose Baez writes the book Aaron Hernandez. And the thing I'm, just as a human being, offended by is the idea that we got to hear the other side of the story. We have to hear Aaron Hernandez's
Aaron's side. That's what he kept saying, too. Aaron's side. What, Aaron wants his story to
why?
Be told. Because there's
why? Do I, why should anyone want to hear that story?
I you think about this guy and who he's defending.
Let me rephrase.
I don't want to bring Casey.
Why does this guy feel that that's important to tell people the other side of this? Why is that important to him? Why does he feel the need to do that? What's his side of the story? Well, apparently part of his side of the story is that Aaron Hernandez would visit Tom Brady, and Tom Brady had sort of expressed some sort of concern over Aaron Hernandez. Here's Jose Baez on TV yesterday talking about that.
Tom Brady was concerned about the characters who he was hanging around with. He described to me the times he would go to Tom Brady's house and hang out with him, the how they would practice all the time. And he just wished, I know, he wished he had listened to Tom Brady.
Do you believe him?
No. What are you doing bringing Brady into this?
He believes that's part of the story. He believes that to be true.
Well, what's going to Brady had no influence on him then.
So Brady's going to speak at noontime today. Will he be asked about this?
Yes.
I hope so.
Yeah, Steve Cooper will be down here, I'm sure.
What's going to sell books? What's going to move the needle?
I think that Brady way, too.
And I wish you would have listened to Tom Brady. They were very close. He tried to help him, but he didn't necessarily. Did he? Were they?
Boy, it's not true.
Brady had some stroke, huh?
If it's not true, and there was never a meeting, and Baez indicates that he would go to Tom Brady's house. I heard him say this yesterday.
All the time, go to Tom. I don't
go to Tom Brady's house all the time.
I don't believe that.
So if that is not true, if he was not at the house of Brady, if Brady wasn't aware of whatever it was that was going on with Hernandez, because he'd have to be aware on some level of him being in some sort of trouble to be concerned about who he was hanging out with. I would love to see, if it's not true, Tom Brady today, less than an hour from now, say, this guy is talking about things that did not happen. That is not true. That never happened. That I'm done talking about.
He won't even address it. He won't even want to,
I know,
for whatever reason, legally or not legally, go down that road. He goes, you know I'm not talking about this.
What I'm rooting for. I would root for him to say that did not happen, if it didn't happen.
Wouldn't it be great as this guy's doing this media tour? Like, this guy's a liar.
No, don't use my name to sell your books. And I know he's not going to say this, but I'm saying the thought behind it. Don't you dare put me in your book about your murderer that you wanted to write a book about. No, you're not using me to sell your books. Didn't happen. I would love to see that. I would be rooting for that.
It'd be great if, like, Brady's people came out, like, legally and said, you know what, we got something to say about this. Because that means it definitely didn't happen and they're going after this guy.
Well, the other part is that he wants to play up the CTE angle with Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
He wants to talk about the CTE instead of the PCP.
Right.
Is really you mean the when direction he's going.
You mean when he was dancing around his car with the bubble gum and they stopped and he was doing the whole, you know, the dance walk that he did outside the car while the gas was filling up and when he was on PCP? Yeah. That wasn't CTE to me, you know. CTE's like, let's go nuts, man. Let's drive off a cliff, you know. Let's drive down the other way of the highway. That's crazy CTE stuff, right? Justin Strelzik stuff.
Not sure. It's always been my understanding, though, in terms of Tom Brady and his relationship with players, is that he's got his core group. He's got his guys that'll go to Montana with him.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other guys don't feel like he's... Other players have said he's kind of his own thing. And that's I don't think that's any different from a lot of quarterbacks on a lot of different teams. You can talk to him, you can approach him, but he's kind of got his life, and it's not necessarily what maybe I would say of like full half of the roster is doing and how they're living. He leads a different life. And part of it is age. Part of it, he's been doing this for so long. Part of this is just he's in a different place in life and he's got, you know, different type of family with a, you know, a wife who's, international, they spend time in other countries. He just does stuff differently.
Do they wear shoes there?
Leeds made them. Well, they spent a lot of. They were always bare feet. Giselle was when she was a child.
The wet earth,
always
very big with her.
Very
she likes
wet
the earth in her feet.
Always bare feet, but the notion that he was somehow close to Brady just flies in the face of a lot of what we hear from Foxborough, and that I don't think there are a lot of guys who would call themselves close to Tom Brady.
Edelman. But, I mean, even the development of the tight ends when they were first drafted together, meaning Gronkowski and Hernandez in that draft.
Gronkowski is close to Brady?
No. But I get, you know, the development of the tight ends and where that thing was trending, how good that was going to be prior to the triple murders. Never once did you see one story. I go back, I remember everything. Never once did I say,
has Rob Gronkowski ever been to Tom Brady's house?
Probably.
At this point, I would say probably, but I don't think he's over there every weekend. And look,
he's got his own thing going
on. It's not an indictment of Brady or anyone else.
I'm saying
you work together every day, you spend all this time together, you don't have to go to each other's houses to hang out. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there are other guys we see every day that You never talk to away from work.
Like this guy's trying to paint the picture and he's a father figure and taking him under his wing and he cared about him. And he was often at he was all the time at his house. I don't ever remember a story of Brady taking his kid under his wing.
I've never been to Zoe's house.
Right. Neither have I.
You guys come over anytime.
You ever been to my house?
Nope.
Nope.
I've been to Hardy's house once.
You dropped me off once at the
I've been to Hardy's house.
Yes.
He's got a new house now.
You had some interesting neighbors at the old place.
Jim's house is too far away.
The guy the lobsters was holding it up. You had the one-legged guy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, no hair.
There was the guy.
And look at us. We talk to each other 24 hours a day. Yeah. The only time we're not talking to each other is when we're sleeping.
I've been to Jim's house in a limo. Jim's kids jumped in a limo and ran around in it. That's the only time I've ever been to Jim's house.
But it's different. I mean, we see and talk to Tom every day. Have you ever spoken to Tom like on the telephone outside of work?
I have, yes.
Outside of work-related things?
Yes. I have.
No.
I have. I care more
about Tom. Because you want nothing to do with him. And I don't blame you. Neither do I.
Me and you, buddy.
When do you guys talk and chat for something other than...
through periods of certain events and things. Games. Life events.
At a game? Like a Patriots game?
He's my good luck charm. He's my good luck charm. Tom is my good luck charm. Nobody knows that. Yep. Any AFC championship game Tom has gone to that I give him tickets to, we've gone to the Super Bowl. 3-0.
So that's something you now need to do.
If we
go to an AFC championship
game. But that's not because you're hanging out going out to dinner on the weekends.
Let's bring it back around.
I'm going to land the
plane, please.
So when Tom goes off, right, and does something horrific, which we all know will happen one day.
Right.
And it's probably going to be some kind of PED-related rage.
Yeah, he's going to beat the hell out of somebody.
Look at the guy.
He's going to bludgeon somebody.
Tell me that's all natural.
No.
And I'm going to say,
The head is even chiseled.
I got a lot of testosterone.
I like it.
It's Session on holiday.
Will there be a book and an author
by Tom's girlfriend
that comes on this program and says, I wish he would have listened to Zoe? Zoe called him his good luck charm. Yep. They were very close.
Nope.
It paints a picture that's not totally accurate.
If he kills somebody, I will distance myself from him like you wouldn't believe. I didn't know it. I mean, he's a weird kid. He never talked.
But I could see Tom's lawyer at some point coming forward and say, I wish you would have listened to Hardy. Hardy tried to take him under his wing. And, you know, they exchange Christmas gifts and all that stuff. It paints a picture that's not really
accurate. I would actually go out of the way to say I tried to warn people about Tom. Like, this kid was crazy, man.
But
that's what it feels like. It feels like after the fact, trying to attach a big name to it to make a headline. That's what it feels like.
I've
heard stuff so the other way with, and I've talked to Matt Light about it. I don't want to share Matt. I don't want to put words in Matt Light's mouth or Wes Welker's mouth. But this dude he did everything that the team asked him or required him to do, but he was a loner. Never once was
Which
there
means
ever
he wasn't
story.
Hanging out with anybody, including Tom Brady.
Yes, and Brady of all people. Give me a freaking break, man.
Like the hardest guy to hang out with.
He was there during the Welker years. I would say Wes would be at Tom's house catching with him more so than Aaron.
617-779-0985. Like I said, we're going to hear from Tom Brady coming up at noontime today, and we'll see if he gets asked. Well, if he gets asked about this particular topic, I bet he will. I hope he gives an answer if it's not true. I hope he knocks it down if it's not true. We'll get to your calls coming up. Here are the headlines with Hardy. And oh, by the way, that plane landing yesterday was the biggest disappointment of the day. That was not at all dangerous.
Kids were upset.
And it didn't look like anybody was close to dying. We'll talk about that next as well.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Once again, the Red Sox could not figure out the Cleveland Indians last night. They lost 6-3 in the second of the four-game set. Alex Cora says, their bullpen, pretty good.
They're good. It's hard to match up with them. They got the three lefties. They got Allen. You know, they got Sod Armor. So it's a tough bullpen to match up with. But they're strike throwers with good stuff. Miller looked great, able to expand with that slider.
Two teams are going to play the third of the four-game set tonight. It's Carlos Carrasco going to the mound for the visitors at Fenway Park. He's 15-6 on the year with a 3.33 ERA. Brian Johnson gets the start for the Sox tonight. Aroldis Chapman threw six pitches last night in what ended up being a 2-1 win over the Marlins for the Yankees. But Chapman had to leave the game. Has been dealing with knee problems for a lot of this season. Patriots, meanwhile, continuing their preparations for preseason game number 3, Friday night against the Panthers in Carolina. Ohio State's Board of Trustees today started deliberating the findings of the investigation. It's gone on for 2 weeks into allegations that their head coach Urban Meyer and others mishandled domestic assault accusations made against a former staffer. Headlines.
Anything about the sex toys in there, Hardy?
Not in this particular update. We can get to those later.
What, sex toys?
Headlines are brought to you by Spectrum. See what you did? America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice company, hiring field technicians for all their New England offices. Apply at jobs.spectrum.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
Is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We took off, and apparently there was a sensor in the back that, like, flipped out, so we landed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were, okay, I was like, fine, okay, this is cool. And we took off again, and then we just heard the tire pop. It was like, bah. And then, like, I don't know if it was smoke or whatever just coming in. And we're like, this is not good at all. And then.
Yesterday afternoon, so, but I was watching the video,
listening to this
live Facebook feed of the airport in New York, not Westfield. They did not land in Westfield yesterday. That got changed.
Keep this rolling, Jim.
Instead, they landed in New York with Post Malone's G4 jet that had been on its way to London and popped two tires on takeoff. The private jet had to divert, had to burn off a lot of fuel.
This is really when you get affected by as a parent. Like, your kids are at a different age. Hardy's, yours are a little bit of a different age. And you come home and I alert the girls that this is what's going on with Post Malone.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Oh. And we go downstairs to watch the live feed and listen to that rock star in the loop. And like, here I am sitting here as they are worried. Like, what if something tragic would actually, not that I wish this, but like, are you people really being affected? Have you ever seen pictures of him? Ever heard him? You heard him right there.
Yeah, I've seen him.
He got off and he hit the ground. He's like, man, like, I need a beer and I need a glass of wine, man. I need some wine. I need some beer. I need a beer and wine. And he's just scratching his head. He looks like Calnan. Like, when Calnan's talking to you and he's like scratching and itching and everything. You know, it's just, you know, I start itching when I watch.
Well, I guess we can all say we're happy that it's not the
happy. Nobody got hurt.
It's not the post Malone era.
But
that's a good thing.
We're not doing a post Malone post mortem.
Like, what if something like, what if the landing didn't go well and they got upset? Now I got to talk these two off a ledge after over this guy.
Two girls.
Like, Post Malone cares about you?
My two daughters are
going to
lose their mind over this.
Yes. This is what affects kids nowadays.
New York's Stewart Airport is where the plane landed. And if you were watching the live feed, like I was, like you were, like Jim Louth was, Hardy's too classy for these problems. We
sat here after the final hour and not watch it.
We sat there and watched it. And right before his plane landed, another plane had landed at Stewart Airport. And you could tell, like, oh, that's a normal landing. That's not the plane. And then a couple of minutes later, his plane lands. And it was so uneventful that I thought,
that's the wrong plane.
It was not his plane again.
Right.
That plane's fine. That's not the plane.
Right.
No. They landed as if there was nothing wrong with the plane.
You know what I figured out through all this?
It's
all about the front landing gear, because the front landing gear was fine. One of the rear wheels was fine.
Correct.
His left rear wheels blew out. So you could basically land that thing on two wheels and kind of adjust the angle of the plane and the way it comes down to where you put more pressure on the other two. You want to show me something? Watch that JetBlue pilot land that plane, the bigger one.
Yeah.
With the front landing gear locked the other way and that tire hits and it sticks. And he's got to keep that front end up.
Just hoping
until
that
basically
landing
the plane
gear doesn't collapse in the front.
Then he plants it. Yeah. Like, that was a landing. Like, this was nothing. Look at it. Then he lands and then he taxis.
So, you know how we heard from Sean? Yeah, he did. And then you see, he taxis over, and then the fire department's like, well, we're here. And they, like, go chase after the plane and the trucks. I'm like, what's the point? They're fine. They're fine. He's going to be able to drive the thing into the hangar, into the, you know, mechanic shop and get some new tires.
It looks like a donut tire on the other wheel. Looks like a little small donut tire on the other wheel.
So ridiculously uneventful.
As we learned yesterday, that is
there go the fire trucks. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, they pull up to it like, we're here, ready for the rescue. No one needs a rescuing. This was completely normal.
What's his name? Arthur Dick Post? That's his name.
His real name?
Yeah.
I don't know. I do know that they chose that airport, though, we learned yesterday, because it is also an authorized Gulfstream dealer, so they could get the work done right there.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
a Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, it's like...
You blow your muffler out, you go to Meineke.
Yeah, your Tahoe breaks down, not that it ever would, but if it did, they said, just drive it to the Chevy dealership. We got everything we need to fix that.
Right.
I got to rent them.
Yesterday, Sean from Somerset called us. Remember, he was talking to us about... I believe he was a pilot, talking about the Airbus and all that stuff. He sent an email yesterday at 1:47 before we even got off.
Too, about the field.
And he said, Post will be fine. This sort of thing happens all the time. He was very calm and said, yeah, this is not a big issue. And he even sent me an email before saying that this was not going to be a big deal. He'll be fine. But I at least expected some sparks or something flying up from the runway, you know, a chance at a fire or something. Give me something.
Now that he's safe, it's a good career move.
Oh, it is.
Got a lot of advertising out there.
A lot of marketing. Yesterday.
Well, he needs all the career help he can get, because if something were to go wrong for him in the music business, I don't know that the face tattoos are going to be of any help to him when he goes to get a job at Applebee's. They're going to look at him and they're going to say, look.
The goofy jumpsuit that he wore at the VMA, I think that may help him.
We like the attitude. You got a good work ethic. We just can't have you front of house. Can you cook at all? Would you be interested in it, you know, kind of like a, you know, behind closed doors position? He got tattoos everywhere. I'd seen maybe one picture of the guy before yesterday. So he's got the teeth thing and the face tattoo thing. He's got the gold things on his teeth.
He doesn't look like he's bathing a while.
So net worth's a little more than Zoe's, $14 million.
Well, he's more than that, sorry.
I don't know.
Number one hit of the year, dude.
So? What's that get you? Albums don't sell anymore.
They're not a thing, really, anymore.
People going on and downloading the entire Post Malone LP. No, they get the song.
No, but touring is where they make all their money now.
Touring. That's the money.
Actually, Money Inc. estimates at about $8 million, so below Zoe's.
Yeah. Zoe's worth more than that guy.
Celebrity net worth tells us.
Nope. Not. Liquid. It's all liquid.
Let's see some statements.
Very disappointing.
We'll clear this up once and for all.
Very disappointing. So because the... hold on. Justin New Hampshire wanted to talk about the plane landing. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, Beetle. What's going on?
Hey.
Hey, I was just wondering why you're so upset that nothing bad happened. You know?
Yeah, why do you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't rooting for anyone to get hurt or injured or even worse.
Sounds like you're rooting for something
bad. But I was looking for a little bit of an element of danger.
I was too yesterday.
I don't know. Sounded like you were kind of, you know, bummed out that there wasn't much more to talk about. I mean, people landed safe.
That's true. I am bummed out that there wasn't more to talk about.
Excellent point, Justin.
The landing of the JetBlue plane when everyone was fine and safe.
You ever watch Landing on Hudson? That was pretty exciting. You ever watch Landing on Hudson?
Sullenberger. That thing was dramatic.
There you go.
Dramatic. They made a movie out of that.
Everybody lived.
And we're excited. And everybody was safe.
Yep.
Everybody was safe.
Like, there's a freaking U.S. airplane
for
in the Hudson.
Or injury.
That's badass.
I was just rooting for a little something to watch.
That's badass stuff.
Denzel inverted his and landed that thing pretty much almost upside down.
Is that true?
And he ended up in jail.
Sure it wasn't Morgan Freeman flying?
I saw it on the TV. I don't know if
that barrel roll, and I said, if I get that thing upside down like the great white shark and the orcas get the catatonic state of the plane upside down. That's right. Andy was the co-pilot that day. He had that little switch on his belt. We had to inflate him up and his head spun round and round.
So because the Post Malone thing happened in the middle of the show yesterday, we didn't get to our shark update yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And that was related. That was something we were going to get to in the show, and we didn't get to it. I think we may have a solution to the shark problem. I don't know if it's feasible, but I know what the answer is. We'll get to that coming up next.
Okay.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I swam out on an intercept path with the white shark.
The killer whale and the great white disappear below the waves.
It was a splash and then nothing.
And we were kind of collectively holding our breath. There was no blood, there was no thrashing around. It was only when the killer whale emerged from the distance coming back toward the boat carrying the shark in its mouth that we actually knew what had gone down.
This is really, really strange.
This orca came up next to the boat holding this now what appeared to be dead white shark by the back of the neck and held it up for us like a cat with a mouse, you know, just showing.
I've got you a solution to your shark problem, Cape Cod.
This is so badass.
So, Hardy and I always like to say that the white shark, we're always throwing around that word, apex predator, which I believe has become more popular of a phrase than ever. Feels like everyone is using that phrase now.
Rethinking that phrase a little bit.
Right? You didn't used to hear that a lot.
Right.
You're hearing it all the time now. Apex predator. Apex predator.
You say apex predator, I think like lion. Like badass.
Well, there's water and land.
There's a number of apex predators.
Apex predator. Like if, top of food chain, man. But this whole like whale thing.
Yes.
Like you think about the type of whales that there's like beluga whales, there's blue whales, there's humpback whales. And then there's like two whales that have the coolest names. Sperm whale and killer whale. Because like sperm whale is the one thing, but the killer whale. I got kill. I'm badass whale. Those other whales, they swim around, they play, they flap. I'm a hunter. You ever see those killer whales? Get one of those little seals and get them stuck on one of those pieces of ice and how they in tandem in a pod tend to cause waves to get that thing to fall off and they're all sitting there waiting to eat that thing. Or how they just follow your boat while this little scared seal jumps up on your little platform by where your motors are.
So again, to be considered an apex
badass
predator,
whales.
You got to be a predator that is not preyed upon as a healthy adult. And the white shark is on that list. They are an apex predator. Except when another apex predator, the killer whale, has gone after the great white because they come at the great white with more than one killer whale at a time.
So badass.
You just heard that audio from a special that Jim watched on Nat Geo. I read couple of stories about it over the weekend.
You've never heard of
there have been instances of killer whales coming across great whites, tossing them around, flipping them upside down, where they then go paralyzed temporarily.
Catatonic.
And it puts them to sleep a little bit.
Yes.
Trances.
And do you know what the killer whales then do?
Yes, I do.
They bite the great white. They suck the liver,
they eat the liver
out of the great white.
Right, 65-pound liver.
65-pound calorie-rich liver.
It's like onions with it.
It's like Zoe's liver.
Yep.
These killer
just
whales.
Completely saturated and bloated. These killer whales are smart.
What's wrong with my liver?
And they know how to kill them, and they leave the great whites for dead. You know what the Cape needs?
Killer whales.
We need some orcas, baby.
That's right.
How do we get some orcas here? And by the way, I looked into it.
I want to put them out there.
I looked into it.
How
where
much
one's going to
run you? How much?
Orcas.
$13,000.
And you can have them living in this area.
Get your bottom from SeaWorld.
I've read that they are most abundant in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, they love them up there.
You remember watching Free Willy as a kid?
I think Pacific Northwest and Orlando were the two places that they were most abundant.
San Diego, too, has a couple.
My question is, how do we get some of them orcas here? Because what happens is the orcas will kill one of the white sharks, correct? And just the fact that they kill, and in some cases they've killed five or six or more, the other sharks get the hell out of the area. Yeah.
They say this
and
place.
And they take off and leave.
This place sucks. We're leaving.
Say, like they eat your
liver. No.
This is like Hannibal stuff.
And Jim was talking about in this special that he watched, they put, a canister of the dead shark meat?
Yep, listen to this.
And they threw it into the water?
True.
And the scent that it gives off or whatever it is that the other sharks picked up on?
Yep.
They knew that there was one of their species had been killed and they all left town.
I mean, it makes sense.
They said, we're out of here.
If you're on the playground, like some truck drives by and throws like all these fingers and body parts out like and scatters everywhere over the playground, you're like, you're going to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Human zone nailed it.
This also relates to another story that the Duxbury beach whale.
What happened on the playground?
Like, if body parts, you're just having fun out there playing, like you're just hanging out with all your buddies, and they just throw parts everywhere, the bodies, somebody's body. Like, I ain't hanging around this playground.
I apologize for asking. Yes, Duxbury.
The Duxbury beached whale. There is a debate in the scientific community, from what I understand.
Mm.
Not really a debate, but there is a lack of understanding. They can't figure out if burying whales on a beach attracts white sharks. They haven't done enough research on the matter. But even if they bury it and they put that thing 30 feet down in the sand, they don't know if it's going to bring sharks close to shore. There are some scientists that believe it absolutely 100% does, that they come searching for the dead whale.
Well, you would think, like, if you dig down deep enough in sand, you find water because of the water level. So if this thing decomposes, think about that whale.
Yes, there's an ocean right underneath the sand.
Get out them oceans. Do you think the whale carcass would decompose to the point where it liquefies itself and it gets down in that water and it gets sucked out through the
sharks smell the carcass meat
and they're like, let's go get some of that.
They come looking to feast on the whales.
Land shark.
So burying whales on your beach is typically not a good idea.
But they need more studies.
What'd they do with the whale?
The Duxbury.
I don't know what they did with the whale.
Drag that thing.
They were trying to drag it off the beach and the chain snapped the other day. It's 50,000 pounds. What do you expect?
Let me tell you something. You stand anywhere near that chain when it snaps, that's going to ruin your whole day.
Let's get to the headlines with Artie. Tom Brady's set to speak in just a moment.